We are the bones of the valley, waiting, yearning for the word, for the holy breath that will give us life. Speak, O God. We are Tabitha. We are Lazarus. Life gone from our bodies, yet we are yours, and if you but call us, we will rise. Speak, O God. We are surrounded on all sides, and yet we are reminded that you watch over us in our journey by day and by night. Speak, O God. Kindle in us the flame of life and hope and passion, that we may once again declare that we are your people, that you are our God, that where you go, no matter the roads, we will follow. Speak, O God, into this moment. It is in the strong name of Jesus Christ that we offer this and all our prayers. Amen. Our bones are dried up. Our hope is lost. We are completely cut off. From whence will I look for help? Lord, if only you had been here. Anybody hear those words recently? Oh, sure, we all just heard them in the scriptures that we just read. But have you ever heard them at a board meeting? Maybe at a choir meeting? Maybe at a conference meeting? Presbytery? These are the words from our holy texts, and yet they are the words of our people. They are words of despair, words that we cry out in the darkness. And yet, on Thursday night, incoming President Catherine MacDonald said these words, an important reminder to us. We are a resurrection people, right? Right. Thank you. God is not finished with us yet, right? Right. That's what incoming President Catherine MacDonald said. Because we are an Easter people. We are a people born of a miracle. And we are a Pentecost people. People born of a spirit. This should all be fresh in our minds. I mean, Easter wasn't that long ago. Stories of new life should be fresh in our minds. Stories of a guy mistaken for a gardener. Stories of people sharing their faith in languages they couldn't possibly know. Stories of the movement of the Spirit. And now, we are waiting. As a church, we are waiting. We are waiting for a new program. Some new music. New structure? New ministers. Who, what will save us? From whence will I look for help? I've got some bad news. Get ready. The church cannot be saved. Let that sink in for a moment. The church cannot be saved. But Lord, if only you'd been here. No. Even if we'd started 2 days sooner, the church cannot be saved. But maybe we can wake it up. God, through the prophet Ezekiel, did not command him to say to the bones of the gathered household of Israel, guess what? We've got new boundaries. Christ did not call into the tomb to Lazarus and say, come out and sing this new hymn. And Peter did not kneel at the bed of Tabitha and whisper into her ear, "We just passed Haremeth." God to the bones of Israel, Jesus to Lazarus, and Peter to Tabitha, the Holy Spirit to the people of God said, "Get up. Get up." That Holy Spirit, that Pentecost day that was just a week ago. But it's not over. The Spirit's not done moving, is it?
No.
The Spirit's not done igniting us, is it?
No.
The Spirit's not done inspiring us, is it?
No.
The Spirit's not done guiding and pushing us, is it?
No.
No. The Spirit is not done moving in our midst. And don't get me wrong, all this stuff that I said about new programs, music, structures, ministers, I don't think that new's bad. I think new without faith to guide us is bad. One of my favorite Pentecost hymns is a new one from More Voices. It's "A Song Must Rise." Does anybody know that one? Just indulge me for a moment because I've got the mic, okay? "Oh, a song must rise for the Spirit to descend. Oh, a song must rise once again. Singing out God's praises and glory, the faithful voices blend. Oh, a song must rise for the Spirit to descend." Yeah! A song must rise for the Spirit to descend. No faith, no song, no rising. When we look at the gospel reading that we had today, as Jesus and Martha stood outside the tomb waiting for the stone to be rolled away, Martha said to Jesus those words, "Lord, if only you'd been here, if only you'd been here." Jesus responded, "Your brother will rise again. Your brother will rise again because I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." "Do you believe this?" he asked Martha. "Oh, yes, Lord." But he's not just asking Martha. He's asking you. Do you believe this? Well, okay, we got some work to do, right? Are we not a people of the Spirit, right? Do you not believe that the Spirit will move? Woo! Yes! Do you believe that He walks beside us through all of this? Yes. Yes. We must reawaken our faith. Thank you, I am. We must reawaken our faith. We must stand in the valley of the dry bones and offer breath and life. We must stand at the tomb beside the one in whom we are called to believe and trust. Trust in His word. And as we kneel at the bed of this thing that we call church, maybe we can pray. Right? Maybe? Definitely pray. Without ceasing, pray for the church, for your brothers and sisters in faith. During my time as presidency, I mentioned this yesterday, I got to travel around and see the presbyteries and do some wonderful things with them. One of the things I did for some of the time was invite those who were at presbytery to share their faith with one another. How do you think that went? Nobody that was at conference can answer that question. Crickets. I asked people to take that thing within you that drives your faith, and share it with your brother and sister who sits next to you. And there were crickets until I told them that we were just going to sit in silence for the next hour. And then the doors opened. Then the Spirit poured in. And then after, because I told them they'd have 5 minutes, 5 minutes came up and I said, okay, folks, no, we're not done talking yet. We're not done sharing yet. Because suddenly there was a noise in that place, like a rattling of bones or a great wind or the sound of a flame bursting forth. Because the Spirit was alive in those moments where we shared our faith with one another, where we strengthened our bond with one another. Just last night, we got to experience something amazing. Not just getting out before 11 o'clock. Amen. But the way that the Holy Spirit moved through Youth Forum and Intermediates at Conference. The Spirit is alive in you. The Spirit is alive in you. And because you carry that flame so deep within you, we were caught on fire. We were ignited by the youth who led us in worship. The church is alive. We just need to wake it up. You ordinands. Your job isn't to save the church. That's not your job. Your job is to speak the word. Bring the word that God calls you to give to the dry bones of the boards and the trustees and the stewards and the congregations that need that word, that holy breath. Your job is to fan the flame because it hasn't gone out. It might be embers, but it has not gone out. Your job is to pray, to hold your brothers and sisters, the people who you're called to shepherd, in prayer. Your job is to constantly remind people that God does not give up on us that easily. So I need all of us to remember, we are a resurrection people. We are a resurrection people because the tomb is empty. But there's no room for us to go in because it's full of hope. Hallelujah. See, it takes my congregation a lot longer to get there. Not anymore. Pentecost has come, and the Holy Spirit is still moving because we are on fire. And hallelujah for that. Reawaken and embrace that faith. Let it fill you to bursting so that you cannot help but turn to your brother and sister, a stranger on the road, and say, this is what sets me on fire. This is what God has done in my life. This is how Christ has transformed me. And this is where the Holy Spirit is calling me to go. For the love of all that is good, stop waiting. Stop waiting. The Holy Spirit's not going to wait. It's moving. God has sent that holy breath into us. Peter is done praying for us. Jesus stands out the tomb, outside the tomb of where we think we're headed, and he's already called to us. So wake up. Get up. Come out. And in the words of our youth last night, we've got this. And what more can we say to that but amen.